from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Vinny and Haiti, put your headphones in and ignore your coworkers. 105.7 The Fan.
Ripped into left field for a base hit from third Santander. Rutschman's going to try and score. He will as well. Two runs in. 8-5 now, Orioles. On the ground to second base, Westberg will go to first, and the Orioles hold on to win.
Well, the initial slide wasn't I thought it was a clean slide. He just went over the base, and that's what they called right away because he went over the base. So I just want to know why they overturned that. Yeah, huge spot right there. You know, without Kimbrel, just kind of wanted to use him and Cano there to end the game, knowing that they're going to have to face some left-handers because the way their lineup is constructed, and I was hoping we could add on, and we did, which was great. A couple young mistakes, and that play in the ninth, that's a do-or-die play, and there's really nothing you can do about it. The throws is just trying to make a play, and I know he's a little frustrated with it, but it's not from sitting back on the ball or, you know, being careless. Very excited. Zach's like someone that we've seen a lot, and I've heard unbelievable things about him. He's postseason tested. He's an ultra professional. Everybody talks about how great of a guy he is and what he could bring to the clubhouse and our pitching staff.
And he signed through 2025. That's Zach Eplin pitching today. Opener of a doubleheader. Orioles taking on the Toronto Blue Jays. Start of a four-game series. Oriole Park, Camden Yards. 3:05. First pitch. And the Orioles survive the San Diego Padres yesterday. 8-6 final score. The Orioles led 6-0. And then, as you would expect, and San Diego has been doing some really good things offensively here as of late, because they had a, six, seven-game winning streak rolling into yesterday. Still number one team in baseball with batting average, doing well with runners in scoring position, and all of those sort of key stats. So you knew they weren't going to go quietly, for sure. And then Ryan Mountcastle drove in two more late. He had four ribbies on the day. And then things got a little interesting there. In the ninth inning, Yennier Cano picks up the save as Craig Kimbrel's getting a little break. Seems like it's April all over again for Craig Kimbrel. While the ups and downs, peaks and valleys, whatever cliche you want to use here on this Monday, where he goes from everyone wanting him gone after the series against the Nats to a guy that we're complaining didn't make the All-Star team, and now everybody wants him gone again. Because the only thing that was gone was the ball Profar hit off of him Friday night as the Orioles lose that one coming from behind. So he's getting a reset weekend, as you heard Brandon Hyde say. But how about Sir Anthony Dominguez, who was really good for the Phillies in the postseason last year? Hell, he was really good for the Phillies against the Orioles about a month and a half ago. At Oriole Park in Camden Yards, in his first two outings for the Birds, he's been really good. Nolan McGraw, get in here for a second, because you were there Friday night. Were you there when he threw the ball through the netting behind home plate, Dominguez, or did you already bounce out of there?
I was still there, did not pick up on that, though. Nobody was really talking, so I must have missed that.
Yeah, it went through the netting, started bouncing around. Now, luckily, it wasn't where someone's melon was sitting there, and they would have took 98 across the face. Could kind of bounce down in that tunnel. Then the next day, you could see where they had tied it back together. So this guy comes in, he's already breaking stuff. but he's looked really good. His stats on the year aren't all that great. Remember, he got traded to Baltimore as we were kind of in the final hour of the program on Friday. So all good there so far. Gunner's defense. Look, and as a guy that played first base and fast pitch and slow pitch softball, and in baseball at Druid Hill Park, 25 and under, league way back when. And I'm not saying I'm Wes Parker. There's a reference. Google it. You'll learn something. Or say JT Snow or Mark Teixeira of more recent vintage. And Ryan Mountcastle, who was a Gold Glove finalist. Like, get off the bag. Sometimes you just leave the base and make sure the ball doesn't fly into the dugout or hit a fan. Sometimes you can leave the bag because the chances of getting the stretch and beating the runner are probably slim anyway. Just come off the bag. There you go. But Gunnar Henderson, he's checking every error box that there is. You want a booted ground ball? Got you covered. You want a pop-up drop? Hey, I'm your man. Miscommunication in the outfield. Oh, and you want an errant throw? We're there. This was a brutal weekend for him defensively. Yesterday in particular was bad. Two errors, up to 16 on the season. So he deserves a level of criticism. Even Brandon Hyde said, kind of soft selling it. Well, it's not being paraphrasing, not prepared. He's doing these things where the ball's playing him, et cetera, et cetera. He's a brilliant shortstop. And he made a play. He's made two plays in that game, which were highlight worthy. But he's the anchor of that infield. So he's got to tighten it up just a little bit. He's got that cannon arm, and I know he wants to show it off, but Nolan McGraw right now, that cannon arm of Gunnar Henderson's is misfiring a little bit here.
It was kind of the full Gunnar Henderson experience yesterday. The highlight worthy play early on, and really the whole team was playing great defense overall. Some crucial catches. Think about Mullins in center field. The McCann throwing out the runner, trying to steal third.
Great throw.
Mountcastle, catching that liner down the first baseline. But then Gunner comes back with two kind of head-scratching plays there. And, could have made the dazzling double play to end the game, gets taken out. So it was just a crazy, wild game. But I think he feels like, and Hyde even said it, that he can make every play. And it's almost a detriment. That sometimes as a young player, maybe you got to learn when to take one and put it in your back pocket. This isn't the situation to go for it. And I think the ninth was exactly that situation. You just got the tack on runs. You got the 3-run lead. Obviously, you don't want any base runners there for Cano. But hey, I'll take a runner on first, then a runner on second with no outs in that situation. I just think maybe a young guy getting a little overexcited sometimes.
Yeah, the last thing you want when you're up three is tying runs coming to the plate or even being on the on-deck circle, which is what Yennier Cano had to deal with yesterday. But either way, they got the win. They salvaged the series finale. There's still a game up in first place here in the American League's Eastern Division. But unless, Nolan, they pick up the pace in the final, what? You got four games here before August 1st? They're about to suffer their first losing month in how long? Since 2022, if I'm not mistaken? Over a year? A long time.
Right. And yesterday, in some ways, felt like a good showing. There were signs of life. Obviously, the offense putting up 8 runs, all without a home run. That's encouraging. Hyde was willing to shake up his lineup. We saw Couser batting leadoff. That's a drastic change. So those were encouraging. Overall defense outside of Gunner, very encouraging when that's been an issue for the past week. Pitching, all right, that's still a problem. So I don't know if that's going to change. Still time to make a move before the deadline, but hopefully yesterday was a turning point. But I feel like we said the same thing at one point last week as well, and then they went right back to slumping.
Yeah, and look, I thought Kramer was outstanding Saturday given the circumstances that he had to deal with. Grayson Friday had his moments, but wasn't all that great. But we'll see what Zach Eplin brings to the equation in game one. Cade Povich looks like he's going to go game number two. Nolan, what did you think of the trades over the weekend? Got Eplin, as we talked about. And I guess Ballmeister is kind of going to be the key to that trade for Tampa. And Horvath's got some versatility, brings to the equation. And then Austin Hayes goes to Philly, gets a standing ovation. First game, he was 0 for 4, 2 Ks. I'm assuming they'll turn to booze quickly with that fan base. But Austin Hayes, who was, you know, minor league player of the year, came up at 17. Then the injury bug started to bite him a little bit. A year ago, he's an all-star. The Gold Glove finalist outfielder. So we know he's a talented, toolsy player. I think first half of last season was leading the American League in hitting. Was on track for a batting title. But change of scenery kind of guy, it seems. And rumors are saying that Mullins and Mountcastle could be finding new destinations here too, maybe.
I like both the trades. You're able to get a capable major league back-end reliever who has that postseason experience in recent history with Dominguez, and you get him without giving up any of your prospects, not even a lower-level prospect. I'll take that. And all right, some people are saying you get Pache back. That's fine. I mean, Ryan McKenna was taking up a roster spot on this team earlier in the year. Pache's no different than him.
Great, great defensive outfielder, but as Cameron Fryatt said in Ferris Bueller, he can't hit, he can't hit, he can't hit. A lot of Ks. Apparently he's got some pop. Hasn't shown it at the major league level.
So you downgrade there by swapping your platoon outfielders, Hayes for Pache. But it gets you a reliever that you desperately needed. Love that trade. And then Eflin, there's a couple ways to look at that one. And you mentioned it earlier, the controllable year after this year with a pretty high price tag, $18 million or $17 million. So you can look at it just through that lens saying, hey, new ownership maybe signing off on that, saying, go get whoever you want. Don't care about the money. If you get somebody that's coming with a big contract, we'll take it, we'll eat it, and we know how much of a need they're going to have for starting pitching beyond this year. So I like it through that lens. And then just for this year, you needed that third starter. I think Eflin can be that guy. Could you have got someone better? Sure, there's still time to get someone better. But this kind of meets that baseline for me that this is, they've accomplished the minimum. And anything they can do before 6 p.m. tomorrow would be even better. But they've done the bare necessities
here. And you get some bats to heat up. I mean, what, Adley's hitting .125 in July, which is almost unfathomable. Gunner's two home runs, I believe, in the month of July here. So some of these hot bats have cooled off a little bit. Santander is doing his thing. O'Hearn's been outstanding as well. I mean, Mountcastle perked up. Cedric has, what, six ribbies last two games. But you just get your bats to do what they normally do, and you'll be fine. Tighten up that D. But to your point, add another rotation arm. Because right now I would think Eflin slides, but after Grayson, ahead of Kramer.
Mm-hmm.
One more.
Right.
And
yeah,
then let's see how we roll from there.
If Dean Kramer's your five, we're back in business. Now we're starting to talk like we were before the season started with, oh, this rotation's loaded. It's bursting with talent. But we learned very quickly you can't can't boast about that.
Yeah, the only thing bursting was elbows, unfortunately, for the Orioles. By the way, their last losing month, the Orioles, October of 22, they were 2-3. Their last full losing month was September of that year when they were 13-15. After July and August, they had played themselves in to some wild card discussions. So Orioles might have their first losing month in almost two calendar years. Ravens back at camp today. Lamar came back over the weekend. We'll get into that and more with Todd Karpovich from BaltimoreSports.com. But if you want to vent about the Orioles, come on, get in here. July's almost over. Trade deadline is tomorrow as we end the month. Orioles are still a game up on the Yankees, so we'll see what the Birds and Mike Elias in particular are going to do to strengthen the team.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Teams looking to upgrade, needing pitching. Yankees need relief pitching. Dodgers could use another starter. Atlanta's decimated. Saw Lopez, their top dude. He left with forearm soreness his last start. So teams searching. Garrett Crochet, who had been on the Orioles' radar apparently from the White Sox, he started popping off, or his agent did. Well, I'm not moving to the bullpen. And if I don't get a contract extension, I'm not pitching in October. Well, enjoy that 14-game losing streak there, sport. And Tarek Skubal looks as though the Tigers, are less inclined to move him unless you blow them away with a potential deal. So, Michael Elias done acquiring starting pitchers, or are we going to look for some more bullpen help? Blake Snell's name's been mentioned, but he's got a player option with deferred money, so he might bail after a year, and he's pitching really well right now for the Giants, and he's familiar with the American League East as he came up with Tampa. So I think another bat now becomes part of the equation, because with Hayes gone, who had a good July, power numbers are way down. He have three homers on the season. Pache's not the answer, we don't think, offensively. So maybe a right-handed bat could be part of the equation. Does this mean Kobe Mayo makes a debut in Baltimore here within the week? Connor Norby's basically the second baseman. Who knows what happens with some of these veteran types. Ramon Arias wasn't exactly Brooks Robinson on Saturday himself with the glove. He and Gunnar had the communication problems. Then they had the sharp grounder, kind of went by him. Didn't get eat up, but that's a play that he probably makes 9 times out of 10. I mean, the bat's been relatively quiet. I don't know, man. What do you think, Nolan? They're still good. They're still going to the playoffs. I've also noticed that I'm going to go amateur psychologist here. Now, the last game I went to was Thursday against the Cubs, where they got their asses kicked with Steele throwing a no-hitter through five. But I'm not seeing the same exuberant, fun, let's just go do our thing kind of team. They seem to be the butt cheeks are a little clenched up right about now. And because if the Yankees were playing halfway decent baseball, the Orioles would be in second place. But then again, if the Orioles are playing halfway decent baseball, they've got five games right now in the division. I'm seeing an Orioles team, and even the fan base. That was yesterday, first time we saw Mr. Splash more than once in quite some time. It seems as though July has been Orioles all into the All-Star break 2 weeks ago. To what the hell's going on with his ball club right now?
Well, it's losing. I mean, you know, you start winning again in the next month, I think you're going to see that fun and that energy start to come back. I'm not really concerned about that. As far as a boost to the lineup, I think you got it already in the system. It's Coby Mayo. I mean, if you're going to seek outside the organization before you give him a chance, what are we doing here? I know it's going to require some shuffling of your infield, but there's also a DH spot available. You can make it work. Norby's proven himself worthy of more starts at second base, but how about Coby Mayo at third? We slide Westberg over to second. Norby can fill in here and there, or don't make any moves. Mayo's your DH. There's ways to get him up here.
Are we assuming that Mountcastle's gonzo here?
I'm not, no.
Is this part of the equation?
He could be.
But I'm thinking with Hayes gone, maybe they're going to be more reluctant, the Orioles, to trade Cedric Mullins.
I would think so for sure. Yeah. Because you can't lock yourself into Kerstad and Kowser every single day at left and center.
Kerstad looked like they were lobbing hand grenades at him on Friday night.
Right.
And even when he tracks the ball, he's not a fluid outfielder. How's that sound? Mm-hmm. Where Kowser, for instance, looks smooth tracking a fly ball. Mullins is brilliant at it. Even Tony Taters. Hayes. I mean, Kerstad's like lupus.
Well, he never had that one on Friday. I don't know what they showed on TV, but his jump as soon as that ball left the bat.
Well, it was in the mitt.
Twisting and turning.
He was doing the Macarena before the ball got him, but it hit him. It was right there in the pocket. He just kind of dropped it, and that was after Gunnar nonchalanted the ground ball for Manny, and, you know, the floodgates kind of opened from there. So, anyway, the Orioles are first place. You want to get in, you can at 410-583-1057. If you're a fan of Good Morning Football, NFL Network, you should be happy. Because it's back today. It comes on at 8. The replay's running now as we start here, obviously, on 105.7 The Fan at 10 o'clock. Vinny and Haney. Vinny's off this week. Bob Haney, Nolan McGraw is back. Orioles are in first place, barely holding off the Yankees, who won two straight at Boston to get themselves. So looked like they were about to lose the first two, and they come from behind late to tie that one, winning extras, and they just kind of puffy pants Boston last night. Let's go to Baltimore. It's Trippy. Trippy, what's happening?
Hey, man. What's going on, Bob, man? I ain't going to lie. The Orioles got me down this week, man. I just don't understand, man. Like, I know it's baseball. You know what I mean? I can't say it's any given Sunday like football. Cause I mean, anything. They all grown men out there. But, like, something ain't right with the Orioles, man. Even Gunner, like. I don't know. They dropping the balls. Me and Rashard, we went to the game. I don't know how. Look, I'm going to tell you, right, Bob?
Yeah.
Me and Rashard, man, we walking around. I called Rashard to meet Rashard because he went in the stadium before me. Because, you know, we waited a little late. Tickets were sold out, so somebody ended up looking out for me, whatever. But by the time I went to Rashard, it was 2-0. By the time I went to my seat, I looked up. It's 4-2. I said, whoa, what happened? What happened? Everybody like, whoa, errors. But I don't know what it is, man. The Orioles need a wake-up call. You know why? Because the sad thing about it is, I told you this Friday, Bob, while the Yankees are losing, this should be the time we should be getting up. But it's like, we both, like, it's a picture, right, with Ramon Urias, whatever, however you say his name, and Gunnar Henderson, when they dropped the ball. You might as well put the Orioles in the Yankees hat right there. That's how they looking right now, because they both confused. They don't know who want to get first place. And hold on. Yeah. You know I got to say his name,
man. Go ahead.
That goddamn Craig Kimbrell, man. I knew it Friday night. I knew it. I knew he was going to blow the game. I stood up and fans was like, oh, Trip, he said, no, listen, my birthday tomorrow, y'all. I know he's going to blow the lead. And I mean, he walked the person home, but it's like the same thing. I don't trust Kimbrell. I don't know what's going on, man.
And Trippy watching the game on the tube, and happy birthday, by the way.
Thanks, my guy.
You should have saw the look in his face after he gave up that shot. I mean, he knew, God, because he blew the save against the Yankees the last game before the All-Star break. And remember when Mullins got the hit, he was the first one. He knew, Mullins, you just saved my ass. And he's had long breaks between pitching. Not that I'm making excuses for him, but when Brandon Hyde, the manager, recognizes you need the weekend off in a pennant race, I think you don't need to be Colombo to figure out what's happening right now with this dude.
Hey, Bob, real quick, how many saves did he blown this year?
Six.
And guess how many I saw out of them six?
Five.
Half of them, three. Remember the Friday night against the A's? Then the Sunday night, yeah. I mean, the Sunday against the A's, and this Friday. But, hey, man, I talk to y'all, man. Hey, I'll be down tomorrow at Pickles, man. I'll come holler.
We'll be there, no doubt about it, Trippy. Thank you for the call. If you want to get in, you can at 410-583-1057. Orioles and Blue Jays doubleheader, 305 first pitch. There is no Baltimore baseball tonight. Live from Pickles Pub, brought to you by Salvo Auto Parts Bay. Me and Mike Bordick will be there tomorrow night for the 6:30 first pitch. Then Wednesday's a day at like 12:30 game. Early stuff, then the birds hit the road. So we're only there one day this week. That's tomorrow. So if you want to come hang out with the Baltimore Baseball Tonight crew, come on down on a Tuesday night, and we'll get it done together. We're going to talk Ravens with Todd Karpovich from BaltimoreSports.com. It's the Ravens full training camp practice this week. Lamar is back. Lamar's meeting with the media today, so we get to hear from him for the first time in a long time. But the Orioles doubleheader, Zach Eplin makes his Birds debut. Talk about that more here on The Fan.
Every game, every interview, every take, 105.7, the voice of the fan.
Yeah, we put together our best offensive inning we've done in weeks, so that was good to see. And unfortunately, we didn't score again there until later in the game, but nice to see our guys have a pass-the-baton approach that inning.
Brandon Hyde talking about the third inning yesterday afternoon, Oriole Park Camden Yards, where the Birds put up a six spot, then had three more hits the rest of the game until the eighth. Ryan Mountcastle coming through big time with a two-run double, four ribbies on the day for Mountie as the Orioles hold off the Padres 8-6 and avoid the sweep. Remaining game up over the Yankees in the American League's Eastern Division in the month of July. The Orioles have scored 84 runs, which for the month is 25th in Major League Baseball. By the way, the Padres are right above them at 85. It's crazy. Leading the majors in runs scored as a team in the month of July is the A's. Scored 143 runs. Orioles, who are among the leaders throughout the season in that category, number five, to be exact. We'll break down the stats there in the AL East report later in the show. Had a rough go of it. Runners in scoring position, they were bad. They had four hits yesterday, but for the month, they've been bad. Homer totals have dipped just a little bit. A couple of players have had really rough goes of it here in July. That's why they're looking at their first losing month since 2022, unless they can sweep this series against Toronto, which starts today at 3:05. Blue Jays just swept Texas Rangers, so they've won three in a row. Zach Eplin is on the hill for the Orioles in the opener, 5-7. On the season with a 409 earned run average last year for Tampa, 16-8. And he's had some success, pitched for Philly, Tampa. He's been in the postseason before, so he can handle his business. But he slides in, we think, ahead of Dean Kramer. You're in a short series. And if the Orioles win the division, it'll be best 3 out of 5, depending on how everything will play out within the rotation in late September. But in theory, it's Corbin Burnes, it's Grayson Rodriguez, and it's Zach Eplin. Unless Mike Elias makes another move here over the next 24 hours or so, as the trade deadline is tomorrow. But if you want to vent about the Orioles, and I don't think it's unfair to vent. Yeah, they're in first place, which is good, but they're not playing that great. I mean, you had eyes, you see what's happening. It's unsettled defensively. The rotation has been a little bit shaky. Bullpen's had problems. Your closer just got the weekend off after having a rough go in Miami and then Friday night against the Padres. You still lead the majors in home runs, but the Orioles don't hit home runs. They normally don't score, which is why yesterday was kind of fun to watch there for a while. But let's get out to the phones. It's Vinny and Haney, Bob Haney, Nolan McGraw. Vinny's off this week. Let's go to Pikesville. It's Mark. Mark, thanks for holding. What's happening?
Hey, how you doing, Bob?
I'm doing all right, man. How you feeling?
Thank you for making that call for Elias and let us get that picture, man.
Yeah. Well, he listened to us, I guess. I won't write the voicemail, though, when I try to call.
Yeah, yeah. But, we got to understand, though, it's baseball. I think we're right in a good position. I know it ain't been looking good, 1 out of 2. We usually went 2 out of 3 in the series, somewhere in that area. But right now, I think we face the team in Toronto, we can actually sweep these guys if we just play baseball and stop making all these crazy errors, too. I don't know what's going on with that. But we just got to play some solid baseball and tell my Oreo fans we right on pace. Don't panic. It's going to be all right. We got a pitcher now. Might need one more hitter, though. All right, guys. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. And, you know, Mark has been strong with the Orioles getting to the World Series here in 2024, and they still are one of the favorites, according to the odds makers, as doing so. But they got to tighten it up a little bit. Tighten the ship. Start getting this offense untracked. Maybe be a little more creative with your offensive approach. And we all love home runs when they're bashing 3, 4, 5 a game. It's always exciting to watch. But situational hitting, where they were so great last year, not so much this season. Let's go to Baltimore. It's Rashawn. Rashawn, what's happening?
Hey, what's going on, Bob?
How you doing, man?
Not much, man. Good seeing you Friday, as always.
Yeah,
man.
Thanks for bringing that beer, as always.
No,
did you and Trippy get your floppy hats?
Nah, man, we got way too late, man. You know, by the time we left to get in, we went to the box office. We were going, like, you know, get the cheap seats and move where we want to move at. But they were like, we sold out. So, you know, we had to go online, StubHub, SeatGeek, and all that. And, we finally made our way in, though. But we ran into, it was Joe, Cordell, and Tim. They was up on the course like that, right?
So, yeah, you know, and I saw Stone Feltz down at Pickles, too. It was a 105.7 The Fan young guy get together.
Caleb was there. It was a bunch of y'all out there this past Friday, man. But, yeah, so we out there chilling, man. And then, you know, we tied it up 4-4. And then they brung old Kimbrough in. And I looked at Joe. I'm like, Joe, like, come on, man. Like, Kimbrough just pitched yesterday down in Miami, right? Remember? He just almost blew that save down there.
And didn't pitch that great.
Right, he didn't pitch that great. And I thought he pitched a lot, too, in that Miami game, like at least 30 pitches before Cano came in, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, but in all fairness to the Miami game, not to make excuses for Kimbrough, the defense didn't do him any favors that day either.
Yeah, they didn't. But I'm just saying, he seemed like he pitched a lot of pitches that game. So I was surprised he was even available for Friday to come in on a tie game like that, you know? So, I mean, it is what it is. You know, he came up, he gave up the homer, you know, and that was it. But, you know, early that day, you know, the trades that came through. So I was a little sad to see Hayes go and everything. And I know we needed some help in the bullpen, but we got the guy from Tampa, though. So he should be a good third starter.
Yeah, he's pitching and, today, first game.
Yeah. And I see Hayes, he got a hit at his first at-bat in Philly, too, right?
Yeah, got a standing ovation. He was 0 for 4 with 2 Ks yesterday, though.
Yep. So, and when he got that hit that on Saturday, that was his only hit. So, he's 1 for 8 for them now. So,
that's right.
I don't feel too bad now. Because I was like, man, he's going to go up there and turn it around. And, you know, he's going to come back to haunt us in the World Series. You know, Hayes up the bat. Imagine that in the World Series, Philly and Orioles, Hayes up the bat. Versus Kimbrough.
Oh, I tell you what, Rashawn, I got to go. I got to get the break in. But let's be honest. I would take facing Austin Hayes in the World Series in a heartbeat. How about a little revisitation of the 1983 Fall Classic? Because that's the last time the Orioles have been in the World Series. The Phillies have won World Series and been in a few since then. But Austin Hayes gets Kimbrough in the playoffs. World Series, all right. I don't know how it'll turn out, but sign me up for watching it. If you're on the phone, tag tight. We'll get into the Ravens with Todd Karpovich for BaltimoreSports.com. Get his thoughts on the first week of training camp, what players helped themselves, and what players maybe have made a wrong first impression here in the first week. Oh, we got the Whip Around Lamp 15, talk some Olympics and everything else going on in the world of sports, and Andy Koska from the Baltimore Banner preview the trade deadline, which is tomorrow.
Their experience in sports varies.
Of course, Vinny's got experience in the NFL, and I sucked at electric football.
Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan.
Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Thought we were supposed to be changing all the imaging around here. As I've said many times before, nobody's good at electric football. It's impossible. You turn on a plug, you plug it in, turn it on, and then people just start running in circles. Nobody's good at electric football. But I was, like, really bad at it. But it is what it is. Orioles, they've been really bad here in the month of July, trying to avoid their first losing month, full month, since September of 2022. Taking on the Blue Jays today, doubleheader, 3:05 first pitch. Yariel Rodriguez on the hill for Toronto against Zach Eplin, game one. Bowden Francis against Cade Povich coming back as the 27th man. Game two, Orioles looking for a series win. They've been scoffal city here as of late, so let's see if they can get it together against their division foes, who, you know, who knows what they're going to do tomorrow, the Toronto Blue Jays. I mean, Dante Bichette. Bo Bichette's hurt. Vlad Jr. could be on the move. Could others, Kikuchi, could he be moved? Chris Bassett, who at one time was linked to the Orioles, haven't heard much chatter about that as of late. So we'll see what Toronto has in store for their fan bases. They're out of it. They are. I mean, they're 9 out of the wild card. They're double digits behind the Orioles in the East. I mean, this was the team that was looking to be the new powers of the division, made the playoffs the previous 2 years, didn't last long. We get it. How active will they be? Maybe selling here over the next 24 to 36 hours or so. Don't make me do math. But for the Orioles, they're just trying to maintain their advantage in the American League East. Todd Karpovich, go talk to Ravens with him. Who impressed him? Who maybe concerned him? First week of training camp. Only been in pads twice. So how much can you really glean from that? But we'll get Todd's thoughts coming up top of the hour. Bob Haney, Nolan McGraw here on this Monday. No real musical theme. We're just going with the blow. Mike in White Plains. Mike, thanks for holding. What's happening on this Monday?
Thanks for taking my call, man.
How you doing?
Hey, Haney, look, man. And this is what I was worried about. First of all, you're bringing up too many young players, man. I mean, you in the middle of a pennant race. This is not a chance to see who can do what. You one game ahead of the Yankees, man. You know, Hayes should have never been traded. They should have given him more play. When Hayes has more playing time, he plays better. We've seen it when he does. We've seen it last year. We've seen it for years with this guy. But you're going to trade him and put him, you know what I mean? Cowser and all these guys are fine. But these are still young players, man. They haven't played a full season of baseball. So right around this time, you expect for these guys to be tired. Because they don't understand this whole situation, man. It's been a lot of baseball they've played. But you're in the middle of a pennant race and you have World Series aspirations. So why would you keep bringing up all these young guys, moving these veteran guys out of the way, and then expect, and everybody's like, oh, man, they're slumping. What do you expect? What do you expect? These guys, they're not used to all of this baseball. Even guys like Henderson and Rutschman, man, they still young players. None of those guys really are that experienced, but you're not really supplementing these guys with veteran players. You're just bringing up more young players and more young players and more young players, and it's just this is what we expect. This is what I expect. Man, I'm telling you right now, man, if they have an epic collapse, man, they better look at Mike Elias, man. You're the one did this, man. But thanks for taking my call.
All right, Mike venting a little bit, and, you know, rightfully so. It's been a brutal July. Orioles have had every opportunity to extend their lead in the division. It's not the team that we saw roll through New York in mid-June where they're putting up 17 runs and, man, the Yankees all mad and sore, people throwing baseballs and, you know, doing all the things that they do. Speaking of which, did you see Aaron Judge giving the look to Jose Siri last weekend against Tampa in that series? But yet, when Soto does it, when he does it, when they're walking around like their bleep don't stink and they're profiling and their home run trots, that's acceptable. The Yankees play by their own little rules, and if everyone else dares to try to play by the same ones, then you're considered to be dirty or showboating or whatever. Everything that they do. They're very annoying.
I think Soto's still rounding third, by the way.
Yeah.
Trying to make it home.
Yeah, giving dirty looks to Dean Kramer because Dean Kramer didn't do anything, but he assumed that the Oriole or that he was pissed about his stupid batting batter's box ritual. And Aaron Judge started the whole thing with the beaning and the plunking of the Orioles when he whined about them pitching inside. Get over yourselves. I'm ranting on them all of a sudden. They're up in Philly. Hey, hopefully Austin Hayes has the series of a lifetime against New York starting today. But the Orioles right now, they are scuffling. And nobody expected Adley Rutschman to hit 130 in the month of July. This is a guy that was hitting over 300. He's barely at 260. Now, they had a lot of bats that went really, really cold for them. Their closer went in the tank after a great June that put him in all-star consideration. Gunner's hit two home runs. They've had kind of the, or two or three, I think it's two. They've had a lot of guys kind of hit the skids with the bats. Maybe they were smelling themselves a little bit after all the all-star recognition they were getting. I don't know. I'm not inside their heads. But got it to get it together. You're still in a very good situation. Now it's time to just right the ship a little bit.
Right, and go back to all of last year, the amount of sustained losing stretches or stretches of just poor performance in general, they haven't been there. So when this starts to snowball on you and all of a sudden a poor offensive night turns into poor pitching the next night and you don't play good defense across an entire series – now, all of a sudden, it's like these guys are on their heels for the first time. And still, for the most part, they're a young team. Do they know how to handle this? I think this is a case where, especially over the weekend, guys like James McCann, Ryan O'Hearn, who've been around the league for a long time, they've lost games. Even Anthony Santander, who was here during the rough years, they got to speak up and say, hey, this is part of a 162-game schedule. It's not the end of the world. Let's bounce back out of this tomorrow.
Yeah, and let's make this clear, too, that if we're sitting here talking about Gunner's lapses here defensively, you don't think he's aware of it? He knows.
Oh, you see it on his face.
Yeah, he's the face of the team, him and Rutschman. So he understands that, you know, I need to start making some of these plays. Is he prone to the spectacular? Absolutely. And his ceiling is still through the roof. If that's redundant, I apologize. But his this guy's winning gold gloves at shortstop. Right now, he's kind of iron-gloving it.
Not this year.
It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. We'll come back, talk some Ravens as their hopes are high. Super Bowl or bust, and rightfully so. They were in the AFC Championship game just months ago. Todd Karpovich, BaltimoreSports.com. Talked to him about what he has seen in the first week of training camp. Lamar is back as he was dealing with an illness that was pretty serious because he had to leave practice on one occasion. Whip around left 15, what happened in the world of sports over the weekend, and historically, it's July 29th, and Andy Koska from the Baltimore Banner. What's that hot stove smelling like today?
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps and thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be to be.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.